Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Kuf Nun Vav. Okay, we're starting with the Mishnah on Kuf Nun Hamad Beis. And once again, our Mishnah's topic is going to be care for your animals. Care for your animals and care for animals that are not yours. But care for the animals. So we start with the Mishnah. Ein ofsin esagam avlo darsin. So the Mishnah says that you can't force feed your camel and you can't force feed your camel. Now, I know I sound repetitive, but please stay tuned. We're going to try to give some sort of distinction between two different types of force feedings. Of amal eaten, but what you can do is you can be mal eat. So again, terms in the Mishnah, which the Gemara itself is going to struggle with in terms of what exactly they mean. But the basic idea of the Mishnah is that you can't force feed your animal, but you can feed your animal. Vein ma'amir nesa galem av amal eaten. And when it comes to your eagle, your young calves really don't know how to eat yet. So you can do the hamra'a to your eagle, which you can't do for an older animal, but you, you can't be mamir your eagle, but you can be malit. Okay, so things that you can't do for older animals, you could do for the younger animals because they have a hard time eating. Omahalka tinlatanagola. Now, when it comes to your chickens, so what can you do? You can force feed your chickens, but no semaila morasan, and then you can add some water into the bran, basically make some sort of hot cereal. We'll talk more about that later today. Avalo govlin, but you can't knead it together, because once you knead it together, so then you're violating the malacha of lush. Lush is one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos, so you can't knead it. The enos nemailefnei devarim. Now, in terms of feeding your bees, because, you know, in the backyard, you have that that big beehive, and you want to feed the bees, so you can't give them water. V'lefnei yonish b'shovach, and also the birds in your backyard as well. That are living in the birdhouses, so that you can't give them water as well. But your geese and your hens and your hardosiot doves, so there you can give them water. I hope all that is clear. If not, we're going to try to clarify some of it. So mayin ofsin. So let's go to the first statement of the Mishnah, which is that when it comes to the camel, it's that you can't force feed the camel. So there are two words that are used in the Mishnah. There's the word of oves. Now oves, if you look back at Rashi in the Mishnah, so Rashi says that basically stuffing your animal like a trow. Okay, the avos is like a bag, like a feed bag. And basically the word avos means is that you're stuffing it like a feed bag. So mayin ofsin amar Rav Yehuda enos lo avos besoch me'eha. So basically, you can't turn the animal's stomach into a feed bag. Okay? Stuffing the animal so much that basically, it itself now is the pouch that is holding the food. The Gemara asks a very simple question. Is that so? Meaning, do we have such a thing? Answers the Gemara very simply, incorrect. So I saw, says Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti, I saw an Arabian who force-fed his camel. He gave him a core of food and threw that inside his stomach. And also then the camel was loaded a core on top of it. Now, core is an extraordinarily large amount of food. A core is 30 sa'ah. How to put that in convert that to modern terms, I don't know. But the point is very simple. That is a lot of food. And the idea of the Gemara is that it's so. It can happen. So, ein ma'amirin. So now we have two terms that we use in our Mishnah. We said we can't be oves the camel, and we can't be dores the camel of amal eaten. But you can do it with this thing called la'at. And then when it comes to the eagle, ein ma'amirin es ha'galim. Now, what are all these terms? Ezu amra, ezu hala'ata. What are these terms that are going on over here in the Mishnah? So, amra v'yuda amra l'makam she'nechol ha'achzir, hala'ata l'makam she'nechol ha'achzir. So, two explanations of our Mishnah. First, the explanation of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that when it comes to Hamra'a, which in the Mishnah is what we cannot do, Ein Ma'amir Nisagalim, so that's talking about force-feeding it so far down the throat, the animal cannot send it back up again. So that is, we're talking about serious force-feeding. And when it comes to Hal'ata, which in the Mishnah, by the Eagle, you are allowed to do, so that's the Makam Sheyachol Al-Hachzir. Meaning it's not a full forcing down the throat, but putting in the mouth of the animal. If the animal so chooses, he can spit it back up again. Okay, so by the eagle, so you can put in the eagle's mouth, but you can't force feed it, you can't throw it, shove it down his throat. That is pshat number one. The Gemara gives the second pshat.
Just to ask you a question, didn't you say that the like animals are mostly, you cannot touch them on Shabbat.
So by force feeding, so again,
you gotta touch them to put before.
Yeah, so again, touching means to move them, manipulate them. You can, I mean,
you gotta open its mouth to shove it down its throat. So how could you
right? Yeah, listen, you know more about this than I do. Right. So if you're right, if you literally have to open up the mouth of the animals, that's a little bit strange. But as Gemara is going to point out in just a bit, mizonos echem alechem, if you're required to feed the animal, so that means that it depends on you for food, and by the eagle, this is how you actually feed the eagle, so I would imagine that we're going to be making in this regard. Rav Chista Amar Id v'idol makav sheino cholahachzi. Rav Chista is going to give our second shot in the Mishnah. Both of these terms means that you're stuffing it really far down the throat of the animal. The animal cannot regurgitate this food. The hamra bikli, Allah to be yad. And it's just a question of whether you do it with your hand or you do it with a utensil. Rashi describes it as being a spoon. Mesa Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says, well, let's take a look back at our Mishnah. Or a braisa. Now, when it comes to the chickens, so you could do this halkata, and for sure, you could do malkitin, which apparently is less exertion. But when it comes to the dove, so then you can't feed these animals. Now, if you can't feed the animals, you certainly can force feed these birds as well. Now, my mahakitin and my malkitin. Now, again, we're just looking for definitions. What are we talking about? So, it doesn't mean that mahalkitin means shoving it down the throat, and malkitin just simply means putting the food in front of them. Which would then give the implication that when we're talking about the doves, you can't even put food in front of them. And the Gemara can't even imagine, why would that be so? Why can't you even put food in front of them? That requires no exertion whatsoever. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, based on this logic, it must be that mahalkatin means, both means force feeding. It's just a question of how far down the throat we're going. Mehalkatin means that we're going to force feed it so far down it can't regurgitate. Malkitin means that we're force feeding it, but it can't regurgitate. That must be the Gemara says by using logic, that must be the two definitions of those terms. Mechlal de hamra'a. So then we had a third term in our Mishnah, which we know is even more. What's hamra'a? Bikli. So it must be that hamra, which is something even stronger. So we already have shoving it down the throat. And so what's stronger than shoving it down the throat? So shoving it down the throat with a utensil. Okay, Uti Yufta to Rav Yehuda, and that obviously would pose a question to Rav Yehuda. Amalcha Rav Yehuda. So, in his defense, Rav Yehuda would say, "La'olam mahalkatin d'safa lebi'adam, mahalkatin d'shad le'kamayu." Let's go back to that first pshat, which you did not like, which you rejected, which was that the word malkitin is just simply laying the food in front of them, and you didn't like that because you can't possibly imagine why that would be usher for a dove. Ude kakashu lachyoni shavach miyoni aliyah lemishde kamayu nami lo. The Gemara gives a very simple answer. No, meaning you thought that you're not allowed to throw, that throwing food in front of a dove, why in the world would that be aser? And the answer, the Gemara says, is very simple. It is aser. Meaning if the dove does not look to you for its food, on Shabbos you can't feed the dove. And by feeding, we even mean just throwing food in front of them. You're not allowed to do for animals, in this case birds, in this particular case doves, that don't need you for food. Kid did tiny, in fact, we learned in a brisa nosim mizonos of nekelav, nosim mizonos of nechazir. You could feed your dog, but you can't feed a pig. Now, it's interesting, take a look at Rashi over here. You can't feed a pig, not yet, just give me one more line of Gemara. Then we'll go to Rashi. Dogs are domesticated. Dogs are looking to you to be fed. Mashenkin, when it comes to pigs, pigs are not domesticated. Pigs do not look to you to be fed. And not only do they not look to you to be fed, but you, the Jew, shouldn't look to be feeding pigs. Rashi. Now we could say Rashi. Rashi writes, Chazirim is on a sam, Alecha da'ar Yehudi shi'gada chazirim. So Rashi says, the cursed is the Jew who raised the pig at the Gemara. And Sota, it's the very end of Sota, right? The last off, if I'm not mistaken, very end of Sota that describes the Jews' prohibition of raising pigs in their house. Even, of course, we're not talking about where they're going to eat. Eating it is, of course, is usur, but even raising them in their house, in a Jew's house, that itself deserves a curse. So anyway, so the answer is very simple. So now let's go back. We have two terms. We have malkatin and we have mahalkatin. So now the Gemara is basically basically defending Rav Yehuda, that the word malkatin means to force feed. Mehalkatin means force feed. The word malkatin without the hay just simply means presenting in front of them, but not force feeding. And the Gemara was bothered, well, why by Yoni Shovach? Why by the doves can't you even put the food in front of them? And now the answer is very simple. Ein mezona secha alecha. Because they're not looking to you to feed them, and therefore you have no right to feed them on Shabbos. Rav Ashi says, if you look back at the Mishnah, and you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll see this in the Mishnah. You can't give water to your bees. And you can't give water to the doves in the Shovach. But the geese and the chickens, so that and the Hardesio pigeons, so that you're allowed to give water to. My time. And the difference, based on what we're saying right now, is very simple. One is looking to you for food, and one of the other one's not looking to you for food. So in other words, the bees, they're independent. They don't need you for food. So therefore, you have no right to feed them, not even water. And the chickens and the geese, they are looking to you for food, so therefore you feed them. So based on what we're saying right now, Rav Ashi says, that seems to be a very simple Pshan or Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, that could be the Pshat, but why does the Mishnah talk about water? Why isn't the Mishnah talking about food in general? So it could be that in our Mishnah, water, specifically water, because water is accessible to them, meaning they don't need you for water. There's an agam, there's a swamp right nearby. They can easily go to the swamp to get water. They don't need you for water, but maybe if it were other foods, maybe then other foods you would be allowed to feed them. So in other words, the Gemara is essentially saying, it's not such a strong deek in the Mishnah, and why would the Mishnah speak specifically to water, not any other food? So the Gemara is not totally in favor of Rav Ashi's deek in the Mishnah. Darsh Rabbi Yonah, Apitzcha, Debe Nisiyah, Mai Dechsev, Yodea Tzadik Din, Dalim, Dalim. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what it means to be poor. Yodea Kadosh Baruch Hu bekel shem nezosav muatim. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that dog does not get fed very often. Not a lot of food goes to the dog. Lefichach shor achilasom b'meiav gimel yamim. So therefore, it has a very slow digestive process because the dog Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the dog gets fed very infrequently, and so therefore, digestion is a 3-day process, and that has halachic ramifications. So the Mishnah Oalos, a very very disturbing Mishnah, but it's a Mishnah. Mishnah talks about where the dog consumes human remains. Now we know human remains, the kezais of mace, is metame be'ol, and we know that once the dog eats the human remains, it still is going to give off tuma. Now, while the dog is alive, no tuma. No tuma is emanating from inside of the dog. Why? Because we have a concept known as tuma blua, absorbed tuma. Any tuma that's inside something else, in this case, the something is a dog. So while the dog is alive, so the tuma does not emanate. The tuma remains inside. However, once the dog is dead, so now the mace that's inside now goes through the dog, and if we're in a roofed house, which we are right now, we'd go up, hit the roof, come back down again. Okay, classic tumas oel. How long are the human remains assumed to be intact inside the dog? And the Mishnah oel says 3 days, supportive of what we just learned, which is that the digestive system of the dog is very slow, and that's rachmanis on the part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that the dog doesn't get fed that often. Over office of a dog in Kadesh Tipola or Betisarev. Now, when it comes to birds and fish, so the amount of time that it takes for it to incinerate, meaning pretty quickly. So, in other words, when you see a dog, so the Gemara says, feed it. Okay, give it a little piece of meat. Because we now know that dogs don't really eat that much, and they don't get fed that often. Rav Mari says, look, when I see a dog, so what I would do is I would give it an earful of meat, meaning in this case we mean literally, meaning like the ear of an animal. I give him like a little piece of meat, but then of course I would quickly hit the dog. Why? Rashi says, because I do not want the dog to count on me for food. So in other words, dog's going to keep coming back to me, and he's going to want to come into your house. And so in other words, feed it, but then hit it. Hani mile bedabra. And that's only if it's really a wild dog, where it really is out in the wild. But if it's in the city, lo, don't even give it the smallest piece of meat, because asa lemisrach, dog's going to keep on coming back to you, and presumably even after you hit the dog, it's still going to come back to you. So in the city, don't feed the dogs at all. Amra papa leistani emekava veleistasi mechazira. No poorer animal out there than the dog, no wealthier animal than the pig. Pig being wealthy, how do you understand that? Rashi explains, the pig will eat anything. Shekol machal, meaning Rashi, shekol machal, rayalom, vasi lechol, v'af machin lo harbe. It eats anything, even after it eats, it'll eat some more. Okay, it's a wealthy animal. Tanya kavasi Rav Yehuda, now we go back to our Mishnah. Okay, do you remember now we had the Mishnah, we had three terms used in the Mishnah. We had the term halkata, we had the term likita, and we had the term ma'amirim. What exactly those terms mean? So as we learned at the beginning of our daf this morning, it's a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Chista. The Gemara now will point out that we have a brisa that supports Rav Yehuda. Ezu hi amra, ezi alata, hamar marvisei. So the term hamra, which is the first term that's used in our Mishnah, I take it back, the first term used in our Mishnah is ovsim, right? But that's by the camel. But when it comes to the egal, it says, ein ma'amirin es ha'agalim. You can't do mimer to the egal. So what does that mean? Hamra'a. So marvitze, so what it means is that you sit the animal down, upokis es pia, and after putting the food in the mouth, then you close the mouth, u'ma'achila karshina ma'mayim bevasachas, and you're allowed to give it both the straw and the water at the same time. So in other words, it's really force feeding of the animal. Halata, but when it comes to halata, ma'achila ma'umad, animal standing up, you're not squatting the animal down. U'mashkem ma'umad, it's drinking while the animal standing up. U'nosin karshinim bifnei atzma, u'mayim bifnei atzma. And the water and the straw do not have to be mixed together, but they can be given even separately. Point being is that both is really putting food in the mouth of the egel. One is really stuffing it so it doesn't regurgitate, and the other one is just putting it in its mouth, and that's it. So we have now a brisa supporting Rav Yehuda's understanding of our Mishnah, which is that the term hamra, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos to the egel, means force feeding it to the point where it cannot spit it back up again, regurgitate it, and the term halata in our Mishnah by the egel, which you are allowed to do, just simply means putting it in the animal's mouth. Now, who is our Mishnah following like? Now, for here, for the next 20 lines of Gemara, approximate, we're going to be discussing the malacha of lisha, of kneading. Now, again, it's tucked away all the way at the end of the Masechta. This is a topic which could have been discussed earlier in the Masechta. We talked already about the malacha of lisha, but not with any kind of detail. And now the Gemara will spend a certain amount of time, a quality amount of time, discussing this malacha of lisha. Now, the malacha of lisha is really simple in terms of how to violate it, meaning it's a malacha, let's remember. And that is, you take flour, you take water, and you knead it, right? You put in a bowl and you mix it together. That's the malacha of lisha. Perhaps, the malacha of lisha is even before I actually mix it together with my hands, meaning the moment that I pour water in, I'm already violating the malacha of lisha at that point in time. What we're going to see in just a moment is that's subject to a machlokas. There's going to be a debate amongst the Tanayim, at what point precisely did you violate the malacha of lisha? Will it be just simply the pouring of the water in, or do I actually have to agitate the two together, mix the two together? So as we're going to see right now, this is subject to a machlokas amongst the Tanayim. Amar Abaye Amisikame Damar Masisam Mani Va'amar Li Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. He did Tanya. We learned in the following brisa, the opinion of Rebbe is, the moment you pour water in, you're chayv on the malacha of lisha. Even prior to you actually agitating the two together, you just violate lisha just by adding water. And Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says, no, not yet. Meaning you're not going to be chayv until you actually mix the two together. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that let's take a look back at our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says that when it comes to feeding these birds, nosnin mayim lemorsan, you can actually add water into the bran. That's what the Mishnah says. It's clear from our Mishnah that obviously you're not violating the Malach of Lisha. Had you been violating the Malach of Lisha, then there's no way you'd be allowed to do it, obviously. So when our Mishnah allows you to add water into the bran, it must be that our Mishnah is following the position of Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, and not the position of Rebbe. The Gemara says, maybe not. Gemara suggests, well, maybe Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda is talking about flour, and specifically flour, because flour needs kneading. Right, hard to hear that because it's the same word used twice, but right, by favor, thank you. Flour requires kneading. And that's why he says that when it comes to flour, you're not going to be chayv until you actually knead. But maybe by morsan, by bran, where there's no kneading required, so maybe you'll be chayv just by mixing the two together. Which would then be strange then, because that would then mean that our Mishnah is going like nobody. Neither like Rebbe nor like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, but okay. So lo sakadach, but the Gemara immediately rejects that to Tanya Be'edja, because we learned specifically in a Braisa, ein nosnin mayim lemorsan. Divrei Rebbe, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, amar nosnin mayim lemorsan. We have a Braisa, and the Braisa could not say it any clearer, that we're, this machlokus between Rebbe and Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, is not just by flour, by ground up flour, it's also true by bran as well, that according to Rebbe, just adding water to the bran is a malach of Lisha, and obviously therefore you can't do it. And according to Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, it's mutter legamri. Tanu Rabbanan Govlin Sakeli, Liyoshomim Govlin. So now we're going to have a machlokis whether or not you can eat. That's very strange, because we know it's a malacha. So who's out there who says that you can do it? So we'll identify in just a moment, but we have a braisa, and the braisa is pretty clear. The Kali, by the way, is toasted grain. Okay? Shavuos, the Torah says, Torah uses the word kali. So, ein govlin es a kali, you can't knead toasted grain, and some say that you can. Now, man yeshomrim, who's that? I'm Rav Chista, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda allows you to knead. Now, how does that work? Especially when there's a malacha that says that you're not allowed to. So the Gemara goes on to explain that you can only do if you do it with a shinui. Even according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda is a more makel position, which we'll see later on. It's not really the accepted position, although some communities relied upon him. That's true, but you have to do it with a shinui. What shinui are we going to use for Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda? Heich mishanei Rav Chista al yad, al yad. You can only make in small increments. Vishavim shebochshin es ha-shasus b'shabbos. Now, you're allowed to make shasus on Shabbos. Vishavim, they both agree. Meaning, even though the Tanakhama and the Yeshomrim say, have a debate regarding making a thick mixture, but if it's shasus, that you're allowed to prepare on Shabbos. And show some zeitzama mitzri, and you're allowed to drink Egyptian beer on Shabbos, even though some people drink it for medicinal purposes, but nevertheless, it's a drink, and therefore you're allowed to drink it. Okay, but that's a separate issue. Now, Hamart and Govlin, now the Gemara says, I don't understand. We're confused. The Tanakhama says that you're not allowed to knead. And now we're talking about making this shasis, right? Some sort of porridge. The Gemara gives a very basic distinction. A thick porridge you're not allowed to make on Shabbos, period. Well, I shouldn't say period, because Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda allows you to do it. But the Tanakhama's opinion is that you're not allowed to make any type of thick consistency. But if it's a thin consistency, hard to say exactly the difference between thick and thin. One way to give some sort of definition, working definition, is if it pours. Right. Okay, it's a thinner consistency.
Is the mixing concern, like, is it the whole? Why do they prohibit it? The mixing, the actual mixing.
The actual mixing.
If it's rigorous, they're prohibiting it.
No, it's not a question of rigorous. It's a question of lisha. In other words, it's kneading. This is one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos, is kneading. So it's not a question of how hard you mix. That was an earlier discussion, right? Vigorous mixing. Over here, we're talking about binding together, right, flour, bran, or other particles, that's the malach of Lisha. So now what we're learning is that if it's a thin consistency, so then you're allowed to make it. But then the Gemara immediately qualifies, Hanimilu de Mishani. But even if it's thin, and even though it's mutter, according to the Tanakhama, but still it has to be done with some sort of shinu. Heichem Mishani, and how exactly does that work? Amar Rav Yosef Bechol, no stain es ha chometz. So during the week, it means that you first add vinegar, right? And then afterwards, you add the flour. So on Shabbos, the reverse orders. First pour in the vinegar, and then add the flour after that as well. Right? People who are making baby cereals. So this is, it's halach lamaisa. You need to know this. You want to make hot oatmeal on Shabbos. There's another issue as well, which is cooking, but in other words, again, if it's a thin consistency, which the Gemara says, then it would be okay. So once again, you'd have to reverse the orders. Levi bray derav huna bar chi ashkeche legavla de beinashia. Levi, son of Rav Huna bar Chiya, found that the govel, the official mixer of the house, not of his house, by the way, but the beinashia, of his father-in-law, the kagavla v'safa lelatura. So what he was doing is that he was mixing and then feeding the animals, batish bay. Now, he kicked him, meaning he was dissenting with his viewpoint. Okay, I know strong dissension. No better way to show that you are not in favor of what he's doing than kicking the individual, and that's what he does. Asavu ashkeche. Now along comes dad, and dad says to him, you know what your mother's father said, and mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav Umana Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, and the Gemara here just tells us that his grandfather, his maternal grandfather, is Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, who quoted Rav, and Rav said, Govlin. Govlin velomaspin, that you are allowed to be govel, in other words, you're allowed to mix, but you can't force feed, lomaspin, udololake belishne, and you can't even put it on the tongue, mehalkatin le. I'm sorry. Udalo lake belishne mahakatan lay. However, if it has a hard time using its tongue, meaning Rashi says we're talking about an egel katan, we're talking about a very young calf, so then you can insert the food into the mouth. Udalo lake belishne mahakatan lay. Vahani melehu de mishani. Now, again, the point being is that, according to Rav, you're allowed to make this mixture. And the Gemara says, and again, you have to use a shinui. Now, I know we just got done saying what the shinui is, why the Gemara here is giving us a different type of shinui. Is this complementary to the previous shinui of switching the order around? It's not clear from the Gemara. So the Gemara says, what we mean by shinui over here is that normally when you mix, you go in a circular motion. However, on Shabbos, when you're kneading on Shabbos, so you have to use some sort of shinui. And again, we're not talking about a thick mixture, because there is an opinion that says that you're allowed to make a thick mixture, but the Gemara says that's not how we hold. But it has to be a loose mixture, a thin mixture. But even so, in other words, now we're learning about two shinuiim. Previously, we talked about the shinui of mixing the order around, meaning first the liquid, then the flour. And now we're talking about another shinui, which is that instead of going circular, you go crisscross, right? You go in an X, you make an X with the spoon. Bahala ma'ar shapir. So the Gemara says, okay, but it doesn't mix well, which I would imagine is part of the point, meaning that the shinui means that I'm not doing it like I do it during the week, but still, the Gemara wants to know, pragmatically, how do I mix? If it's not mixing well, I'm Rav Yehuda, manar lakli. You agitate, you shake the bowl, and that'll help with the mixing. Okay. Adkan, we are almost done with our topic of Lisha for today. So again, just quickly to recap, to sum up, and our Mishnah says that you can contribute water to the bran on Shabbos. According to Rebbe, even just the act of adding water is already the malacha of Lisha, even before you actually mix. So what we learned is that is a machlokus between Rebbe and Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, whether or not you're violating the malach of Lisha even prior to you actually mixing it. Rebbe's machmer, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda is mekel. And then there's another machlokus, which is that if can I make a thick consistency on Shabbos. According to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, you can make a thick consistency, and according to the Tanakhama, you cannot make a thick consistency. All that you can make is a thin consistency, and even when you make a thin consistency, you have to do it b'derech shinu, you have to do it in an unusual manner. What does that mean? So the Gemara gave us two methods of changing, of deviating from what we normally do during the week. One, first, switch around the order. If you normally put in the flour and then the water, so put first the water and then the flour. Two, instead of going and just mixing in a circular fashion, shesi ve'erif. Okay. Ksiv a pinkasei de ze'iri. It is written on the notebook of ze'iri. Everyone carried around notebooks. Right? You go to school, you carry around notebooks. You go to yeshiva, you carry around notebooks. You got to take notes. So, I'm Risa Kardim Rebbe. I said to my Rebbe, and the Gemara just helps us know who's who. Umani Rebbe Chia. Rebbe was Rebbe Chia. Maula Gabel. Can I be Megabel? Can I knead on Shabbos? So Amar Aser. And his answer was Aser. Now we're not given a whole lot of information over here. Meaning, is it a thick? Is it thin? Right. We're not in touch with all the details. Maula Farek. Can I be Mefarek? Now Mefarek usually means to unload. In this context, what it means, explains Rashi, is that I'm removing food from one of my animals and putting it in front of another animal. Swapping bowls. Amar mutter to that, Ze'iri said, sorry. Rebbe Chia said, mutter. Amar Rabbi Nashe chad kameh trey shapir. Giving one portion of food in front of one animal, great. Giving two portions of food in front of two animals, also not a problem. However, tase kameh trey asar. Three portions in front of two animals, no. That you're not allowed to do. Rav Yosef amar kava filu kabayim. Now in terms of quantity, so Rav Yosef says, you can give a kav, you can even give up to two kav of food in front of the animal. Ula amar kura filu kurayim. Ula says you can give a kor, you can even give two kor. Now, again, a kor is a tremendous amount of food. A kor is 30 sa'a. Two kor, obviously, would be 60 sa'a. His point is just simply, you don't have to worry about the quantity. Meaning that, yeah, you feed an animal on Shabbos, and you can't put two portions in front of one animal, and you can't put three portions in front of two animals, but if it's one animal, don't worry about the quantity. However much it wants to eat, you can feed it on Shabbos. Ksiva Pinkasei de Levi. Now we go to Levi's notebook. And what does it say in his notebook? I'm ready to come Kadam Rebbe Amanu Rabbi Noah Kadosh. Now Levi learned under Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. Right, the Gemara always refers to him as Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and we discussed earlier in Shas why he's referred to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Alda Havan Gavlan Shesisa Bava. Vahavatzavach Rebbe. Uman Rabbeinu HaKadosh Alda Havan Gavlan Shesisa. Now what they would do is that in Bavel, they would make Shesisa, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi tried to stop them, which is rather remarkable, meaning he was the Nasi, he was the leader of the Jewish people. And he was protesting, he was trying to explain to them in Bavel, you can't do that on Shabbos. And, didn't help. V'leis teshmi'alei, nobody listened to Rebbe. V'leis chela b'yadei lemeisar. And he didn't have the power to be Oser. Now, why not? Midir Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. Because they just simply said back to Rebbe, I imagine this is all done through correspondence. Maybe he came to visit, whatever the case is. But the B'nai Bavel said to Rebbe, look, we know, right? Daf Kuf Nun. I mean, you know, they didn't exactly have shots like we have it. But Daf Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis. We know that there's an opinion of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, who says that you're allowed to make a thick consistency on Shabbos. So, okay, granted, you have to do it with a shino, you can only make it at small increments, but we know that there's a shita out there. We're subscribing to that shita. Done. Ksiva pinkasei de Rav Yeshua Malevi Haiman de Bechar b'Shaba. Okay, and now we talk about the best day to be born. Okay, I you can look at the calendar, it's very easy. I think I'm a Sunday baby. Okay, so we'll find out now. It's not such a bad thing to be a Sunday baby. Haiman de Bechad Bishaba, Yehei Gvir Velochada Bey. Okay, you're gonna be a man and you won't be another man. Cryptic statement, of course. My Velochada Bey, Ilam Velochad Lativo. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? It means you're not gonna be good? So Vahamar Ravashi Ana Bechar Bishaba Havai. Now Ravashi said Ravashi was a Sunday baby. He was born on Sunday, Ela lav chada labisha. So the Gemara now suggests maybe what it means is that if you're a Sunday baby, you won't be bad. In other words, you're destined to be good. Now I know this flies in the face of Bechira Chavshi and free choice, and what about all that? So right now that doesn't bother me. Maybe on another occasion it'll bother me. Ravashi says that myself together with Dimi Barka Gazusa. Now, have we ever heard of him throughout the Gemara? I don't think so. But probably there's a good reason why we never heard of him outside of this Gemara over here. So I became Melech, I became king. King over here in this context means Rosh Hashiva, right? In other words, leader of the Jewish people. And he also was a leader, but he turned into the leader of thieves. He's king of thieves. So, Ela Kula Latuva, Kula Labisho. So, if you're a Sunday baby, it means that you're going to be all the way to one side. All good or all bad, but you're going to be the head. And Rashi explains very simply. Sunday, Rosh HaShavua. It's the head of the week. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So, what day did he start with? Sunday. Yom Rishon. So that is the mazel of being born on Sunday. In our Gemara, we have the girsa, the Iver Bei Or V'Choshech, because Or Choshech is Sunday Yom Rishon. So right, either your or your Choshech. But I gave you Rashi's pshat. Haiman the betray b'shabi yehi gever ragzan. Okay, what if you're born on Monday? So what does that mean for you? I know everyone, after today, everyone's going to check back to see what day they're born. I know it. So what if you're born on Monday? So you're going to be a quarrelsome individual. Cantankerous. My time, Mishum de Afligu Bay Maya. Because the water split. So in other words, you're going to be a person who divides. Haiman de Batalsa Bishaba Yehe Gever Atir Vizanai. Now, being born on Tuesday means two things. It means that you're going to be wealthy, but it also means you're going to be Mizana. Okay, you're going to be involved in znus. My time in Mishum de Ivrabe Asavim, because grass was created on Tuesday, on Yom Shlishi. And Rashi explains beautifully, isn't that right? Grass grows fast. Grass also crosses over one over the other. In other words, it doesn't stay compartmentalized. So that's like znus. Haiman de Barba Bishabi He Gever Chakim Vinahir. Now, being born on Wednesday means you're smart and illuminating. My time in Mishum de Itlo Be Ma'oros, because that's when light was created. I mean, I know Sunday is Or V'Choshech, but that's a different Or, obviously. Haman de Bechamisha B'Shabi Hei Gever Goma Chasadim. Now, being born on Thursday means that you're going to be a Goma Chesed, a very giving individual. So, my time in Mishum de Ivre Be Dagim V'Ofos, because the fish and the birds were created on Thursday, and as Rashi explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to support them, so you're going to be a Gomel Chesed. Hayman de Bemali Shabbat Yehi Gever Chazran. Where if you're born on Friday, you're going to be someone who's chasing. Chasing what? Says the Gemara. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Chazran b'mitzvos. You're going to be chasing mitzvos. Rashi explains. What are you doing on Friday? I mean, we're right now learning, but after we're learning, what are we going to do? We're going to prepare for Shabbos. Some of us may even work, but I'm saying, but we're going to get ready for Shabbos. Friday is built for mitzvahs. You're getting ready for Shabbos. Haman de b'Shabbos yehi b'Shabbos yamos. You're born on Shabbos. You're going to die on Shabbos. So al de achila le'yum rabba de Shabbos. Why? Payback. Now, it's so hard to understand this Gemara on payback. I mean, like you did anything wrong. Yeah, I'm saying someone had to be Mechal Shabbos for you, so therefore you come to an end on Shabbos. Amarav Barshilo Kedisha Rabba Yitkara. But in other words, okay. But aside from that, in other words, we're now speaking personalities. What kind of personality are you going to have? So you're going to be a holy man. Of course, you're born on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Chanina Poko Amar Leila Bar Levi. So now the Gemara takes a position on all this. Is all this right? Meaning, remember, this was in the notebook of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And is all this right? And the Gemara takes exception to all that was written in the notebook of Levi. Take the notebook of Levi and throw it outside the base medrash. Nope, not subscribing. Lo mazal yom goreim, as Ela Mazel Sha'agarim, it's the Mazel of the hour. Now, how do I explain this? I don't explain this because it's beyond my comprehension, but I do know the basics. And that is the following, that the mazals operate on a 7-hour system because there are 7 mazals. First of all, what's a mazal? A mazal is the sun, the moon, and the 5 visible planets. Now, there are more planets out there, but that's only because of a telescope. And even when they say it's a planet, don't worry, 30 years later, they'll say it's not really a planet. Okay? But there are 5 visible planets to the eye. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter. Okay, and if you know your astronomy very well, now, mind you, by the way, the difference between astronomy and astrology. And over here, by the way, we're mixing the two.
Right.
Okay, we're blending the two together. But regardless of how the astronomy, in terms of where they are in the sky, the understanding, right, the science of mazalus is such. Okay. In other words, it is a science, just we may not understand it. The science of mazalus is such that for every hour of the day, a mazal has dominance over that, and it works on a very fixed schedule, meaning every hour on the hour, a new mazal takes order. And so now in that 7 mazalos, that means 7 hours. Now, that obviously is going to be working now in a 21-hour system, but over the course of a 7-day week, do the math, I did it, yeah. It works out now that you're back to, right, the first hour of the first day of the week, you're back to now the same mazel. So, it operates, so now all you need to know, and it's very simple to figure out, all you need to know is what, not what day of the week you're born, but what hour of the day you're born, and what mazel dominated that hour. That'll determine your personality. So the Gemara says, "Haiman de bechama yehi gvir zivtan yehi alchem edalei v'shalchem edalei urizoi galyan." So let's say you're born under the mazel of Chama, okay, the sun mazel. So the by the way, Rabbi Kornfeld, you got to see this. This is it's rather remarkable. The beginning of every day starts a new mazel. Okay, do you want to guess what mazel Sunday begins with? I'll give you a hint.
What's considered the beginning?
In other words, the first hour of the daytime.
From like
the
sun, 12 midnight?
The sun. No, not 12 midnight, meaning when the sun rises. Sunrise. Meaning, so...
But that's a variable, though.
That's a variable. I agree. But in other words, assuming, you know, six hour. So the first mazel of Sunday is the sun. Anyone want to guess what the first mazel of Monday is?
Moon.
The moon. And it keeps working. It works throughout the week. Now, in English, by the way, you're not going to hear it so well because in English English did a number on the names. But if you work for those of you who speak Spanish, it works for every day of the week. Domingo lunes is Monday, martes is Tuesday, and Mars is the first. Mercury is Wednesday. You speak Spanish, okay? So, right, Jueves is Jupiter, Venus, and then Sabado, obviously, Saturn. Okay, so...
And men are from Mars.
Yeah. So now, if you're born under the mazel of Chama, so now it means you'll be illuminating, you're going to have money, you'll eat your own food, you'll drink your own drink, and all your secrets are going to be revealed. In other words, you're not going to be able to hide anything. So, im ganiv lo matzlich. So, don't get into the business of stealing. You're going to be a terrible thief. Now, right? Obviously, the built-in irony to that statement of the Gemara, but yeah, right. But anyway, haman de bekochav noga. So now, let's say you're born under the constellation of Noga. Please remind me. Noga is which? That's Venus. Okay, because it's the brightest one. Yehi gavra atir v'zanai. So you're going to be wealthy, but you're also going to be involved in znus. My time mishum diyisyala beinura, because Venus is like the fire, and you have a burning fire. Haiman de bekochav. Now kochav, again, please help me. Remind me. That's Mercury? Okay. Yehi gavra nair v'chakim. So you're going to be... You're going to be very smart. Mishum d'safra d'chamahu, because Mercury is the scribe of the sun. Rashi explains this beautifully. If you watch the Mercury in the path on the constellation, it's always following the sun like a sofer who's following the Rebbe and writing everything the Rebbe says down. Haiman de Balavana Yehe Gever Savil Marin Banai Visasir. So born under the moon, so that under the mazel of the moon, so that's not so good. So you're going to be Savil Marin, Rashi says, you're going to be embarrassed. And you're going to build and you're going to demolish, like the moon, right? Waxing and waning. Sasir Baniel, Achel de lo delay, Vishasta de lo delay. You're not going to be able to be self-supportive. You're going to need to be supported by others. Or Zoe Kasyan, but you're good at keeping secrets. The moon is excellent at keeping secrets. Imgan of Matzliach. And that means then that you would succeed as a thief. You'd be very good at keeping secrets. Now, if you're born under the Saturn, now, the word Shabbos means stop, cessation. Okay? So, in other words, either your plans will be stopped or others who scheme about you, they're going to be stopped. Now, if you're born under Jupiter, which is called Tzedek, so that means that you'll be a man who is a tzaddik. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak v'tzadkan b'mitzvah, specifically regarding mitzvahs. Haiman de b'ma'adim. What if you're born under Mars, the constellation of Mars? Yehi gever ashid dama. You're going to love spilling blood. I'm Rav Ashi, I umna, I ganava, I tafcha, I mo'ala. So there are a number of occupations that you can get involved in. You can be a bloodletter. You could be a thief. Now again, the Gemara is not condoning any. The Gemara is just simply saying, this is your personality. Eat tabacha, you could be a butcher, eat ma'al, you could be a ma'al. But you like to see blood. Amar Rabba, Anabe Ma'adim, Hava. Now Rabba says, in kind of like a wonderment, I was born under Ma'adim. Seemed to be doing fine. So the Gemara says, Amar Abai, Mar Nami Anish V'Katil. Abai says to Rabba, you're a killer also. Okay, you may not be a killer in the sense that You don't cause people to bleed, but when someone says something you don't like, man, do you cut him down? That's correct. Just a little bit more of this, obviously. We'll stop on my rabbi and my nami anish v'katel. Itmar Rabbi Chanina Amar Mazal Machkim Mazal Mashir. The Yesh Mazal Yisrael. Rabbi Chanina is of the very singular opinion that we also subscribe to Mazal. Let me do that again. We all subscribe to Mazel. Mazel's out there, Mazel's real. Right? There is something about astrology. It is not nonsense. The question that the Gemara is going to deal with is, how much does it affect the life of a Yisrael? So Rabbi Chanina says, it does. So Rabbi Yochanan Amrein Mazel Yisrael V'azer Rabbi Yochanan Latame. Now the Gemara from this point forward is going to point out that everyone disagrees with Rabbi Chanina. We're going to have Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to see Rav, we're going to see Rabbi Akiva, we're going to see a number of examples of Amoraim and Tanaim who say Ein Mazel Yisrael, meaning there's Mazel, it's just that we're above the Mazel. Okay, and all the Gadita that we're familiar with, we're gonna see over the course of tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow. Okay, this is the formal conclusion of today's daf. We'll bring it to an end. And so now I'm going off record.